Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Adventurers, I am Hercules Invictus
and Athena Victory,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Olympus e-radio show on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Now, tonight we're going to continue our ongoing exploration into modern mythology, but we're going to take a turn off this planet and into outer space. Years ago, as you know, I'm interested in pop culture mythology. I thought it would be very interesting if the futuristic Hercules of the modern universe were to enter the Star Trek story, Who Mourns for Adonis? So after playing with this in my head for a while, I decided to test it out as a role-playing game, which I did. And then as I sought to expand it, I started introducing elements of Norse mythology and Oriental mythology and outer space mythology. And one day, some people who were interested in what I was doing saw that I had a book of Klingons on my desk. And they said, ooh, Klingons. So I incorporated Klingons into the story. So this role-playing story led to the thoughts that maybe this would be a cool thing to do at conventions. And we did. And we came up with a very elaborate mythology that involved incarnating mythic deities and outer space empires. And we didn't just stick with Star Trek. We incorporated every science fiction franchise we could into this adventure. And that continued, actually, until fairly recently, where we ended the story in Pennsylvania with Die Gungan Die and Wookiee Holocaust. And that wrapped up maybe 20 years of adventuring. Now that we've come to New Jersey, we've decided to bring this to life again. And that's how I got involved in Klingon fandom. Athena, how did you get involved in Klingon fandom?
Oh, well, at the time I worked in a comic book store, and a group of us wanted to get involved, and we wanted to go to Creation Con. There was already a larger group there, which was actually turned out to be Hercules. And we had a chance to work security at Creation Con. Now, if you were dressed as a Klingon, you became security. And it was kind of funny because everyone was very much intimidated by you.
We started that whole security thing.
I figured. And I like the idea of doing a Klingon because they're very free. You could pretty much get away with any over-the-top behavior. Didn't really want to do a uniform, but you could really go to town on being creative of what you were wearing as a Klingon. And I couldn't keep a straight face to save my life, so a Vulcan was definitely out. And also there was a makeup challenge. In the old days, it was just grease paint, and then we evolved to having lobsters on our forehead, so that was a lot of fun, getting my headpiece made and the wig and putting a Ben Nye olive face over my skin. And I wound up looking fairly freaky. And a lot of people didn't recognize me once I was in costume because I was wearing something low cut. So much so that everyone spoke to my chest during the convention. And when I got out of makeup at the end of the day, no one recognized me because I don't think they made eye contact with me all that much. Back in the day, before cosplay became very popular, if you wore costumes and had fun with people, you called it freaking the mundanes. And there was another component in it, because I was trying to raise the bar and was trying to freak the other people. So they were, everyone else was playing the straight Klingon, and I have a very Irisian sense of humor. So I was doing a Klingon, Draculonian, Orkin fusion to kind of, I guess, explain how sexy I was, or trying to be, and my sense of humor. And unless they were into comic books and read Vampirella, they had no idea what Draculonian was. And if they didn't see Mork and Minnie, they didn't know what an Orkin was. So I would get the German Shepherd look a lot.
And you wrote for my magazine at the time, and most people didn't get your humor, just like most people didn't get my humor. They didn't realize that I saw this as very funny, and that what we were writing was comedy. But again, that was part of the fun. And we played with other groups. And one of the groups that we played with the most was Starfleet Region 7. And of course, now that we're running a convention, Mythic Atlantis, Starfleet Region 7 was the first organization to come to mind in terms of who we wanted to play with in this new series of adventures. And back then we knew him as Captain Bob, and now he is Admiral Bob Vossler. Welcome, Admiral Bob Vossler.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is bringing back a lot of great memories from my own past, Creation Cons in New York City. Oh, it's great to be here.
How did your journey take you to Star Trek fandom?
Well, I had always been a Star Trek fan, and I had gone to Middlesex County College for 2 years. It's a community college in the Edison area where I lived at the time, and I happened to go to see Leonard Nimoy when he was still doing college appearances for his prior In Search Of program. This was in between Star Trek the Motion Picture and Star Trek II, and I'd happened to meet a fan who would later draft me into Starfleet 2 years later, when just after Star Trek II came out. So never believing that I would get that, you know, I was always a big Star Trek fan, but I never thought I'd get so into Star Trek fandom as I did. But he had called me up that summer right after I had seen Star Trek II and said, hey, if you join, you'll be one of three members of the club. And, you know, we'll work on things like fanzines. And since writing had always appealed to me, I couldn't say no. And, you know, and before long, I became very, very much involved with the organization, and then became part of another chapter a few years after that. And then later on in 1988, I can't believe it's been so long, I formed my own chapter when I came to live here in Ocean County. So we're close to 30 years old now.
That is awesome. We left and are coming back, and you stayed. So your perspective on fandom and its evolution is something that I really, really, really want to explore tonight.
Oh, and we, even though I was always part of Starfleet and the Federation side of fandom, we always had a great time interacting with the various Klingon groups and other independent Star Trek groups that were outside of our international organization. There was always good times to be had. I mean, sometimes there was a little bit of rivalries or differences of opinion, but we always had a good time throughout the years. So I was always happy to see the Klingon fandom, you know, was still out there, and, you know, that we'd bump into each other at conventions.
You know, it was a lot of fun. I have a lot of fond memories from that time. And it was very funny. My wife and I, our paths have crossed in several different places over the years before we actually connected. And that happened to be one of the places where our paths crossed. And some of the deepest friendships that I've had in my life also came from the whole Star Trek fandom universe.
Now, well, my good friend, our mutual good friend, Wayne Augustin, I met him first as a Klingon, and now he's the regional coordinator for for Region 7, and I'm the Vice Regional Coordinator, and have been. We've both been in those roles for about 10 years at least.
Wow. Wayne was one of our Klingons early on. He was in our group, and later on we had branched off and we removed the Star Trek and other franchise elements from what we were doing, and we ran it as a straight mythic science fiction type of thing for several years, and Wayne was also part of that. So it's awesome to talk to Wayne, and I've spoken to him several times since we wandered back into New Jersey. Now, tonight's topic is going to be Greek mythology in the Star Trek universe. And as I said earlier, my whole journey into Star Trek fandom and Klingon warriorship started with, what if Marvel Comics Hercules was part of the Who Mourns for Adonis story and kind of did a sequel to the episode? What are your thoughts on that particular episode? Because it anticipated the whole Ancient Alien thing.
Well, it was the 31st episode of the series. It was one of the early second season episodes, and it first broadcast on September 22nd, 1967. And it was, I think, one of the best of the second season episodes, and it gave Scotty a lot to do. I mean, he had a kind of a love interest, which unfortunately he was in competition with Apollo, who was played by Michael Forrest. And I thought it was a very good episode, and it was the first story in Star Trek to really introduce the idea of Greek mythology or any kind of ancient mythology from Earth, and put it into an almost science fiction context.
That's what I found fascinating about it as well. They intimated that the Olympians were a band of star rovers, and that they had come to Earth, and that they tarried with humanity for a while for their own reasons, and that then they left. And that being superior beings, they were able to transcend this reality and go to another reality. And Apollo's hanging on to the past and then being glad that the humanity had found themselves to him in outer space. It was one of the episodes that haunted me after I first saw it, after it first aired, and remained with me over the years. And even now, when we relaunched, we went back to that original story and decided to run with it.
And I don't know if you've seen, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead, I did see last year the Star Trek fan series, Star Trek Continues, their sequel, which was just excellent. And they were able to bring back Michael Forrest, reprising his role as Apollo. But even though that series is set a short time after the original episode, and obviously different cast, you know, is playing the original crew, they very successfully explained how Apollo had aged despite being a god. And I thought that, I don't know if you've seen that episode, but I thought it was very well done. It was one of their first
ones. One of the folks on Facebook told me about it, and we were blown away by what a good job they did with it.
Yeah, they were really able to capture the tone of almost like a retro feel to the original series, and I think that's why they've been so successful. And to take that particular episode to do a sequel, I think was a very smart idea.
And what a coup to get Michael Forrest.
Yes. Apparently he had once told Barbara Luna that he, Barbara Luna that he would be very willing to go back if they were ever to do a sequel. And Barbara Luna must have mentioned this to Gene Roddenberry, and apparently this was, you know, kicked around over the years. And when he was doing that sequel, he's apparently in his 80s. You wouldn't know it, because even though he's much older, he's pretty spry. You know, maybe he does have some godliness in him, you know.
I wouldn't have known that he was in his 80s. He seemed older than he was on the TV show, but I wasn't aware that he was that old. So, yes, perhaps he does have Olympian blood. From our engineer, we get the comment that this sounds like the precursor to the Stargate universe. And who knows, it very well may be.
Yes, and as we saw also in the Thor movies, the Thor mythology is a little different from what it's depicted as in the comics. It kind of has a science fiction means of explaining their culture, but at the same time not losing a lot of the flavor of the Norse gods and the mythology there too. So I think we're seeing a lot of different creative ways to both explain, you know, a science fiction mythology, but at the same time retaining the actual mythology that we knew, you know, from history.
And our Mythic Atlantis and our time travel fair that's coming up in August, they are also our exploration of this very same territory that Star Trek and Stargate explored in their franchise universes. It'll be a bit different.
That sounds fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was another episode that relied on ancient Greece, and that was Plato's Stepchildren. And I'm sure you know a lot more about it than I do, so I'll just hand it over to you.
That was first broadcast on November 22nd, 1968, and it was the 65th episode of Star Trek. And it was most notable because it featured the first interracial kiss, as the Platonians, who had great abilities based on their environment of telekinesis, used the crew of the Enterprise as their pawns, and had forced several crew members down, including Nurse Chapel and Lieutenant Uhura, and, you know, forced the first interracial kiss, which, of course, you know, was a pretty big thing at that point in time. What I didn't know until I looked information is that the episode was withdrawn by the BBC in the United Kingdom because of sadistic plot elements, and during its initial run in England in 1971, and was not shown until a repeat run in January of 1994. That I'd never realized. I never really thought of anything in that episode is really sadistic plot elements. I mean, you know, they were being forced to do things, but I think many episodes had featured that. So that was a little piece of information I didn't even know.
We didn't know that either, and now we do. Thank you.
Well, yeah. I remember seeing it as a child and being very taken back by it, or actually, like, probably sat there with my mouth open, because here they were being forced not only to do things but that they didn't want to do, but the people were using them as puppets with no regard for them as individuals, and the glee they took being able to have that power. It was something that stayed with me a long time, that people sometimes will abuse power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And it was interesting, because even though you would normally have felt sorry for, you know, the heroes of the Enterprise crew, they had introduced the character of Alexander, who's played by Michael Dunn, who fans of Wild Wild West would know as the notorious Dr. Loveless. But in this story, he was the more sympathetic character, who had been, you know, dragged everywhere because they could, until the very end, when he was able to acquire the same power, or actually refused to have the power that they had offered, because he didn't want to become the kind of monster that had enslaved him.
And that was very empowering for everyone in our ancestry, even, who have been oppressed by greater powers and marginalized or imprisoned or even murdered. And here he is saying, I don't want to be like you, and I won't be like you.
Exactly. Like he was when Kirk had mentioned that they could give him that ability, he was repulsed by the idea. So it really was one of the more dramatic moments in that episode.
Now, I was very, very happy to see that Peter David, the author, continued the plot line in the Next Generation days with the introduction of Mark Henry, who was one of the crew members of the Excalibur and was later revealed to be the grandchild of Palamas, who mated with Apollo. Are you familiar with that series, Bob?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Peter David's a great writer. In fact, I'm reading some of his earlier books, a DS9 book by the name of The Siege, which I hadn't read at the time it was first published. So Peter David's done a number of great Star Trek books and wrote that line, which was an independent, not an adaptation to any of the TV series. And I thought he did a fantastic job with that series. And it was great to pick up that particular storyline, another link to the past.
I like that storyline. I like the entire series as well because Mackenzie Calhoun is a very barbaric type figure, an Alexander the Great type figure. And I feel Peter David did an awesome job with what happens if you've conquered your world when you're a teenager? Where do you go from there? And then take them into outer space and have them deal with issues that were much bigger than those on this planet.
That and bringing back Shelby, a character that we only got to see in two episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation and, kind of almost demanded that we see more of her. And unfortunately, we never got to see her on screen again, but we did get to see her in this wonderful series that Peter David had written.
Now, there were other mythical beings in the Star Trek universe, beginning in the cartoon where they had figures from Judeo-Christian mythology onto other episodes, and some that explored the whole issue of godhood, like the episode with Mischel is one of the early episodes, I believe the pilot episode, and again, you would know this much better than I, and the Q in The Next Generation. So in Star Trek V, the motion picture, the god that's stuck on the planet in the middle of our galaxy. So Star Trek really explored these themes, which our engineer comments, contemporary themes in a sci-fi way to make us look at what were then current affairs. Beyond current affairs, though, they also were not afraid to tackle deep philosophical and existential questions on the show.
Not at all. They often brought up the fact that there were things that science couldn't always explain, and it also brought links to Earth's history and our worship practices, and just explored that whole area of our belief system, and I think that was very important. Because you had a lot of, stressing of a lot of science, which of course was important, but you also had the human factor that looked at what we believed and why we believed it, and different cultures and their differences in how they believe. And I think that was also equally important.
Indeed. Now, the fandom aspect, that's evolved over the years. And one of the challenges that I was faced with on coming back was I really didn't understand what was going on anymore. When we first got involved with the Star Trek fandom, aside from the Starfleet vessels, it was basically a matter of costuming and discussing episodes. We introduced like a role assumption element to it. That was there, but not enough. And we kind of turned the volume up on that and started introducing a lot of things that were beyond the Star Trek universe much more than had been done previously. Now, when I went to a few meetings of the USS Justice earlier on when we were living in northwestern New Jersey, it seemed that they were very much into computer programs. of which I know very little about. Can you give us any other insights into what the fandom of today is like as opposed to the fandom of yesterday?
Sure. I know that at the time, one of the important things about being in a Star Trek club, no matter whether it was based more on the Federation or the Klingons, is that it brought that fan community together, and you would be able to, you know, get some inside information about, you know, upcoming episodes or the new film or a new book. And of course, with the internet being what it is, that really isn't, you know, essential anymore. You can get that kind of information anywhere now. So though the internet has been great in connecting fans, you know, through Facebook and email and through online gaming and things like that, I still think there's a place for just fans just getting together beyond conventions. So I think that still, if anything, fandom has broadened to include, you know, the virtual world, but at the same time, I think you'll never replace, or at least I hope we'll never replace, just good old-fashioned get-togethers and, you know, getting to know each other and, you know, talking about things beyond, you know, our interest in Star Trek and just, especially now we're all getting a little bit older, but that's okay. So we've got the, you know, literally the best of both worlds. We kind of lived through a whole different period of fandom, but now fandom has changed. I think we're changing with it. And we're seeing new people come in. It's obviously not quite the same as it was, but I think it's good in its own way. And it kind of encompasses a little bit of everything. You know, the costuming element is still there. I mean, I still have a closet full of different uniforms. I even have a Cardassian mask, you know, that I still have. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I've had some fun times with that, and I look forward to going to conventions and special events, you know, to break out that element all over again. You know, with the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, you know, there's a lot of special events going on. My crew just, and we joined another chapter, went to the Star Trek Ultimate Voyage, which was a musical experience at the in New York City just a few weeks ago. And, you know, I know I decided I was going to wear, you know, my version of the Monster Maroon. And I think I was, you know, some people were in Next Gen or DS9, or I saw one from Enterprise or in many, many classic, but everybody came up. I think I was the only one in a Monster Maroon, so that made me feel good.
I'm proud of you.
Plus, it was
before
cold
we go
night,
to
I
break.
It was the appropriate costume, you know.
Before we go to break, and on the note that you just sounded, where do you think Star Trek itself, the entire franchise, is heading towards? There was that whole reboot. What do you think of the reboot?
I like the reboot in the sense that I think it was good for the franchise to have a fresh approach. I think if we didn't have the reboot, the change in the timeline, I think we definitely needed a little invigoration to the franchise. Unfortunately, Nemesis was not very well received, even though I thought it was a pretty good story. But, you know, between that and unfortunately the poor showing of Enterprise, we needed something to really get fans excited and get new fans. I think it did introduce a whole new audience. I think it achieved that goal. I think that's what J.J. Abrams was trying to do. Granted, it wasn't as cerebral a story. None of the ones so far. I don't know how Star Trek Beyond will go. But I do think that was an important trilogy. But at the same time, I'm very happy to hear that the new TV series coming out next year is going to be more tied to our original Star Trek timeline and universe. We're not sure what that's going to be about just yet, but, you know, from all indications, we'll have more of the old feel of Star Trek. I know some of the people they're bringing in were connected to Next Gen and Deep Space Nine and even the original series. So I think it's an exciting time to be a Star Trek fan. I think we're going to see some innovative concepts coming forward in this new series, and I think it's going to be something different that will also bring the new audience along with it.
We're looking forward to seeing the new show as well, and our engineer commented that he likes the altered timeline because it allows us to revisit it and re-explore the characters that we grew up with and loved so much.
Exactly. And we have to remember that Star Trek, because obviously the amount of time that it's been on and the multiple TV series that we had, a lot of the show's mythology is, you know, it's a pretty long continuity. And I think, you know, for some new fans, they may be like almost intimidated of having to know so much of the past, which they really don't have to. They definitely can pick up on it. But it will be nice to have the original timeline back and be able to see where things evolved from that point in time, and to, as you said, revisit some of the old worlds, some of the old civilizations, some of the old storylines. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you very much, Bob. We're going to be back after break, and we're going to look at the future of Starfleet Region 7 and Admiral Bob Vossler when we return. Engineer, take us to break. Warp 1.
Thank you. The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back. This is Hercules, and that was Rains Keep Coming Down by Murphy's Midnight Rounders. And I'm dedicating it to Zeus, who it obviously honors. Welcome back, Bob.
Thank you.
I am so very honored that you are going to be a guest at our upcoming Mythic Atlantis event on April 16th. I think it's really, really awesome that Captain Bob, now Admiral Bob, helps usher in a new era of Olympian Federation interactions.
Oh, I am so looking forward to this. Even with the many things that I've gone to over the years, this is definitely something new and exciting to attend. I'm very thankful that you invited us.
Thank you for your kind words, and it'll be great to see Wayne again. It's been ages since he and I crossed paths in the flesh, so talking to him in person will be a treat for us as well.
Wayne's looking forward to it as well.
Now, what is next for Admiral Bob Vossler of Starfleet Region 7?
Well, Wayne and I are running for another stint as another term for regional coordinator and vice regional coordinator. We're just one pocket of Starfleet. Starfleet's an international organization that has thousands of members and all over the world, but Region 7 is made up of the chapters of Starfleet that are in New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. And we have around 600 members just in our vicinity and 28 chapters, five of which are in New Jersey. So my chapter, the USS Challenger, has been very active. Like I said, we're close to 30 years old. We will be in 2018. We're really embracing the 50th anniversary of Star Trek this year, attending a lot of different special events and initiating a special event. We'll be hosting a Star Trek 50th anniversary tribute on September 10th at the Ocean County Library's headquarters branch in Toms River. Hopefully we're going to have an author present. And several different activities, including a costume contest, a trivia contest, and a couple of different panels. So that's one of our activities. And, of course, we're going to be at several different conventions, the one in Cherry Hill in August. And we always go to Shore Leave in Maryland. This year, it's going to be back in July again. So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll be camped out at our local movie theater in July when Star Trek Beyond premieres, in theaters. We're always been able to take over a movie theater for a weekend and set up our table, and we go out in uniform and meet fans and, try to recruit new members and, take part in all the fun activities that go along with the premiere.
and you'll be having a table at Mythic Atlantis. But aside from people linking with you there, how can people link up with Starfleet Region 7?
Well, our website is www.sfi.org. You could also look up us up on www.region7. And we invite you to join our Facebook page, Starfleet Region 7, or any of our different chapters that you can get the link from our website. We have the Starfleet Facebook page and my chapter, USS Challenger, and Wayne's chapter, USS Britannic, has its own Facebook page. So everybody seems to be connected with social media these days. You could also just email me at beamaboard@aol.com, and I'll be happy to connect you to whatever chapter you're closest to, or you know, and can provide you information about the international organization.
I've had a lot of fun exploring some of those social media, portals, and I'm going to continue exploring with some of the things you mentioned tonight. I'm looking forward also to coming up with some sort of interesting, different interaction. Initially, I wanted to bring back things from the past, but I think I'm ready to let the past go, and let's think of something new. Let's do something awesomely exciting and outrageous and move forward with the future rather than holding on to the past. And I think our time traveler event in August will be an awesome place to start that.
Yes, I've got to get more information on that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I will promptly send it to you, and I want to thank you so very much, Bob, for being part of this Voice of Olympus adventure, and I'm so looking forward to seeing you at the Mythic Atlantis event in April.
Thank you again for inviting me to be on your program tonight, and also I'm very excited about our event. Your event just a few weeks from now. It's going to be a great time.
I wish you joyous journeys and safe adventures.
Thank you. Live long and prosper.
Thank you. Good night, Bob.
Good night.
Before we move on, I want to mention that tomorrow night is CERN's on-air Ostara ritual on Terry and Robin's Power Hours. So please tune in for that. That sounds very exciting to me. And we also have a lot of exciting things coming up. Aside from Mythic Atlantis, which is April 16th at the Elks Lodge in Tenafly, we have an ongoing series of classes at Fairlawn Community Education in New Jersey. They're every Wednesday. And Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m., we have the Mythic Tradition. And from 8:15 to 9:15 p.m., we have Ancient Mysteries. We have this Thursday at the Center for the Study of Living Myth, a workshop called What is Your Superpower? And that is from 7 to 8 p.m. And on Saturday, March 26th, from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be doing Mythic Heralding in Tenafly, New Jersey, as part of the Tenafly Chamber of Commerce. Athena, would you like to add anything?
Just a reminder that the What is Your Superpower is going to be held at the Creskill, New Jersey Public Library. I think you didn't mention that one.
I may not have mentioned it. I'm so taken with outer space and Star Trek and getting involved again. I am a geek, though I am a Greek. My mind is still there. I'm looking forward to doing all that and exploring it. We have communities on Facebook that you can join. One is you could friend me as Hercules Invictus. Another is you can join our Mythic Atlantis group, or you can join our Voice of Olympus group, which just started. So there's a lot less people, but it's more directly connected to this show. And some of the customs that we have on Facebook that I'd like to bring over into the radio show is a blessing. So today's blessing for Mount Olympus, may your deepest wisdom unfailingly guide you. And we also started something new on my friending page, which is, again, Hercules Invictus, where we use pokes to bless people, not just ourselves and each other, but blessings for any who need them at any particular point in time. So I want to publicly thank all who engage in poking on Facebook, because I see poking as a way of sharing Olympian blessings with all my Facebook friends and those they hold most dear. I proudly proclaim all who engage in this activity celestial hoplites of Mount Olympus. A hoplite is a foot soldier, by the way. Olympian blessings for bright new beginnings to all who poke and to all those who are here assembled on our show. Moving on. Tonight, we're going to meet one of the new champions that I've encountered in our travels that will be at Mythic Atlantis and will be joining our inner circle in terms of our Atlantean adventure. I would like to introduce the one and only Phoenix, the Techno Druid. Greetings, Phoenix.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. I've been listening to the show the whole time, and man, wow, this is cool.
Well,
this
we're
cool.
Glad you're here. And for those of you who do not know Phoenix, Phoenix has been described by some as Tesla on crack. He's a very intelligent man who knows a lot about technology. He knows so much that when he speaks, I can't understand. Follow half of what he's saying, but what I can follow wows me. And others that have spoken to him, met him, say pretty much the same thing. So thank you so very much for joining our adventure.
Glad to be here. Very glad to be here.
Now, tell us what a techno druid is, because I know, but our audience may not know.
Okay, so usually you'll find druids and technology do not get along. With me, I've always found that I have an ability, a gift to be able to fix broken technology, and now I've taken it a step further, and I'm trying to make machines that heal the environment, that heal the earth.
That's very noble, and that's very, very important. A lot of times we don't know what to believe, when we're getting information about what's really going on with our environment and our planet. My wife, the wonderful Athena Victory, she's actually much more technical and scientific than I am. So I get most of my understanding from her explaining to me. I'm Hercules, I'm brilliant in my own way, but in another way, I'm a big, dumb barbarian. So I need Athena to explain things to me simply so I can grasp them. And I think, Phoenix, you can vouch for that. That, you know, basically my brain fills up very quickly and needs to digest things for a while before I can proceed with them.
That's okay. My lovely wife, Denise, does the same thing for me. No worries. So no worries there. Sometimes I get lost in the technological universe. SaaS, for example, something that a lot of people haven't heard of. That's just throwing an example out there. We don't have enough time to go over every single thing, but yeah.
But I've given you a mission, and up until now it has been a semi-secret mission. You've been sharing the information in our Mythic Atlantis Facebook group and on your own groups as well. You have been tasked with finding ways that are environmentally safe, that heal our environment, as you said, but especially to focus on water. Do you want to share one of your projects with our listeners?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Which one? The main one. Obviously, I'm trying to get out there, do my thing, and I've ran into a technology out here that is able to heat water up to near 2,000 degrees, flash it, therefore it drops all of its pollutants. And you can take the dirtiest water from the dirtiest water hole ever. And a lot of people, I want to call it the Spitfire, but that isn't it. The guy who gave us the Segway came up with a very similar machine that operates at much cooler temperatures. he himself said, and you know, I love this guy doing part of the explaining part of the science for us, but if you can get clean water to every person in the world, I can guarantee you half the hospital beds in the world will empty.
So you're working on really, really, really great stuff. And that's one of the things I like about Phoenix Books. Again, I don't understand a lot of what he says, but what I understand amazes me. And he is someone who sincerely wants to help our planet in some very significant way. Now, one of the beliefs we also share is, you know, right now everybody's struggling and having a difficult time and meeting many challenges. And that is indeed the heroic path. But both Phoenix and the folks that are part of our group believe that humans should not have to struggle. Humans should not have to be in circumstances where to bring something good to the world, they need to be poor. We believe in abundance. We believe in trying to create a good life, not only for ourselves, but for everybody. And I'm really honored that Phoenix has the same values.
I learned something out there last time I was there with at the last Crestkill event that I'll never forget. It's a little short, it's almost a limerick, but if you're Spartacus-hearted, it don't matter which individual acts disregarded, your job is to fix, lock, load, and restart it.
Awesome. So
that stuck with me.
And I love your empowering post today that you shared on Facebook in Mythic Atlantis, and I shared it on my timeline because it was indeed a very empowering clip. What movie was that from, by the way? I haven't seen that movie.
Is it about Stephen Hawking?
I believe so.
Yes. Yes, I haven't watched it all the way through either, but I can guarantee you I'm looking for a copy to buy right now.
Yeah, it looked incredible, but,
yes. But
the words that were said were even more incredible, and they were powerful. And they resonated deeply. And again, it's the same message that we repeat, but it was said with such force, power, and awesomeness that I'm glad that it's out there and that folks can share it. So thank you very much for posting it.
Not a problem. My question is this regarding that post, though. I mean, was that Hawking's words or was that yes, because the first time I watched that brought me to tears, literally. Literally. And the next two posts that are coming up, sorry, I've been delayed by the 9 to 5, but the next two posts that are coming up are going to be just as powerful.
I look forward to them. So how can folks get involved with what you're doing? I know that basically we're joining forces to do something really awesome, but like the heroes of old who have their own adventures and their own saga, folks can link up with you directly and, you know, basically go off on adventures with you as well. How can folks learn more about you and what you're doing and join you on your quest, if possible?
More about me? I would, like you're doing, I would definitely recommend the Facebook. I am all over social media, everywhere where I can automatically put a post in. Trust me, I'm there. LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+, Twitter. I'm on Facebook in about like 7 places. Now, as far aside of the commercial things that I'm doing, which will be discussed at the event, the best recommendation I can think of just off the cuff would be to look up a guy, or rather a company. The guy's name's Dan Rojas. The company is Green Power Science. He is doing wonderful things with lenses. Without taking up the rest of our time for explanation, he is doing wonderful things with lenses. Look, now to join on the quests, on the adventures, in the lifestyle, find something. Here's exactly what I did, guys. Find something that you really disapprove of, right? And then find, engineer, look for ways to provide a peaceful resolution to it. For example, the dirty water, lenses, heat, electricity. Now, getting out, this will be my third trip to New York, which beautiful city you guys got out there, by the way. I'm becoming a little bit more partial to New Jersey myself, but still beautiful territory, wonderful people. Look, overcome, look for ways. Like, for example, I'll be at the event. Yes, you guys will have the ability to pick my brain for every scientific thing that I know.
Ooh, fun. I love doing
that. That sounds awesome.
That sounds like my nerdy thing going on.
but alas,
oh boy,
Kronos has appeared, and we need to start wrapping up a little bit. I'm sorry, I was taking notes on some of the things that you suggested I check out, and I missed the name of that movie. Do you have the name of the movie again?
I think the name of the movie literally was Hawkins.
Okay, awesome. I will Google that and see what I can find. I want to thank you very much, Phoenix, for being a guest on our show. I'm glad we got a chance to meet you tonight. And for those who want to interact with Phoenix, as he said, he's all over the place. But he's also in Mythic Atlantis, the Facebook group, and with the actual Mythic Atlantis on April 16th. So I wish you well, my friend. Joyous journeys and safe adventures.
Be well. Be well, and good luck with everything.
Thank you. Same to you. Okay, wow. I think we had a great show tonight. And before we close, I want to let the folks at home know that aside from our Facebook page, they could friend me as Hercules Invictus or join Mythic Atlantis or the Voice of Olympus. They can also visit our website, which is www.HerculesInvictus.net, N-E-T. And there, if they go to the new adventures or upcoming adventures, it'll list everything we're doing for the next month or so. And right now we're doing a countdown to Mythic Atlantis. Athena and I are also available should you require our services. We conduct Olympian workshops. We conduct mythic activities, epic special events, and appearances. So if you visit the website, you could check all that out on your leisure. Our next show is called Atlantis, the Unarian Revelations. And we're going to have on folks that I've really enjoyed interacting with for well over a decade, the Unarius Academy of Science. Their spirituality is quite different than most spiritualities that you're likely to encounter. And they're a great bunch of folks. So I'm so honored that they'll be coming on next week and speaking with us. Before we sign off, I want to wish our engineer and the genius behind the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, Terry Power, a very happy birthday. Terry, we're on.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of a genius I am. I'm flipping buttons and making things go away. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We're honored to have met you. We're honored that all our destinies came together at that event that Robin put together. And I'm very excited as to where this path will take us. We're kind of evolving this as we're going along, but I'm really, really excited with the dynamic and with the folks you've had on and the topics we've explored. And you're an awesome person, and we appreciate you greatly.
Well, thank you. We're honored and excited to have both of you on the show, and Voice of Olympus is adding a dimension to Spiritual Unity Radio Network that we've been looking for. And so we are equally thrilled to have you guys joining us, adding your energies and your message to the whole is going to make the whole thing better than the individual sum of our parts, but in fact create a synergy, and I'm excited about what we're going to have. So thank you.
Thanks again. Happy birthday. Your words are very kind and very inspiring, and we will endeavor to live up to those expectations.
totally confident. Well, have a great night. Thanks for your kind words as well.
You too. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
Wishing you all joyous journeys.
for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.